Hey, well, I'm going to introduce our speaker this morning. Most of you know that Matthew Guibourgis is going to be speaking. Matthew is technically and officially still part of our staff. He's our staff evangelist. And new people come to our church and they say, "Who's Matthew? I see this name. Who is it?" And I said, "Well, he's our staff evangelist." And they said, "Well, where is he?" I said, "Well, he's in Texas or the Philippines or Kuwait or Dubai. You never know." He and his family were in our church for quite a while, and they were a real blessing to our church during those years. And it was hard the day that Matthew told me that they were moving the family to Florida. It wasn't an easy thing to hear. But they have flourished there. The children have grown. The son is now almost 21. I think the daughter is almost 19, you said? So 21 and 19. And Dora, his wife, is doing well after her knee problem. She's back to normal, back to work. And that was a very long, painful, miserable ordeal. So we were glad to get good reports from his family. Matthew has a very special place in our hearts. I've walked through lots of things with him over the years, and I had the blessing of marrying him and Dora. Just lots of wonderful memories. And he's a man that loves to preach. He's definitely an intercessor. If you've ever been with him on a missions trip, you know what I mean. If you haven't been with him on a missions trip, you don't know what I mean. But that's who he is. And every chance he gets, he uses his own funds to go off to some country and to preach the gospel. He's just gotten back from the Philippines and Dubai and Kuwait. I don't know where he's going next. He probably don't know where he's going next. Dora probably don't know where he's going next. But he just, you know, he gets that spirit and he leaves. So, but he was coming to Waukegan to deal with some of the properties that he still owns here. And so I snatched him up to come here this Sunday to minister God's word. And he didn't have to be coerced. He was glad to come. And there's two friends that came this morning, Marge Sears. Lots of you remember Marge. She's our official real estate agent for our old church property that we're trying to sell. And then a lady I haven't met before is Donna Voss, who came too from the same real estate office. So welcome, you two ladies. Nice to have you. So Matthew, why don't you come now and just encourage us with a message from the Word of God. We are glad to have you here, brother.
Good morning. Yes, I'm so glad and excited to be in the house of the Lord. Some of you are looking so astonished to see me, an old man. My best friend and the pastor after 20 years, you know, he don't recognize me. Not only him. 2 weeks ago, I was in Kuwait, and my sister's son was supposed to pick me from the airport. He seen me after 12 years, and I waited 30 minutes for him to come and pick me up. I didn't see him, so I called another friend of mine. I said, "What happened to him?" And he said, "He's already there." Then, after a while, and he come and give me a hug and said, "You're supposed to be so-and-so." I said, "What happened to you?" He said, "You are looking very different. After 12 years, you know, I was more gordo and full of hair, black hair, and maybe good looking that time, I don't know." And this guy passed by me quite a few times and he did not recognize me. But you know what the Bible says? Even though the outward man is wasted away day by day, but thank God the inner man is being renewed day by day. Praise the Lord. Thank you. I thank the church. Thank you for everybody for your love and the reception I received this morning. I'm glad to see a lot of old faces, familiar faces. Same time, there are a lot of new faces here. It's hard for you to pronounce my last name. I'll make it easy. My name is Matthew. The last name is Guibourgis. If you break it down to Guy and Vergis, you'll make it. Guibourgis. It's an Assyrian name. I'm from India. I don't know how I got it, but I think when St. Thomas was commissioned to India, he brought Assyrians with him, and somehow I got that name. So people, they don't know me in person when I speak to them over the phone, and when I say my name is Givorgis, they think I'm from Syria or some Middle Eastern country. But they say, you know, I love your accent. But you know, sisters and brothers, after the age of 13, you can never learn a foreign language without accent. That's very true. I've been here for a long time, but I get rid of a lot of things, but the accent. Okay. Well, I don't know how, it's 11 o'clock. Blessed is the preacher who preached short message that he'll be invited again. So I'd like to preach a short message this morning. But before that, as the pastor mentioned, I went to the Philippines June the 30th. We've been to many different islands. Maybe the places of all the Ignaco families there sitting. Oh, by the way, Mabuhay. Yeah, we've been to Jensen and to Sarangani, to Pampanga and to Bohol and Luzon, you name it, you know, we've been everywhere. Praise the Lord. And I want to, for the glory of God, let me tell you one thing that happened. On my way going, every time I go, I meet the group in California, San Jose, and fly from there as the group. But this time, I choose to go all by myself because after the missions, I had two other places to visit, Kuwait and Dubai. So I took the Emirates flight from Dallas to Dubai to Manila. And my flight from Manila to Davao, I had only 1 hour and 50 minutes in between arrival of my flight to leaving the other flight. And my domestic ticket was with the group. I didn't have the ticket with me. And so I was praying hard, Lord, help me to meet with the group, otherwise I'll be left behind. You know, that's a bad thing, being left behind, you know. So Dallas, I did not want to check in my baggage. I had a very small baggage, you know, so I carried it as a cabin bag. They let me. But when I come to Dubai, they won't let me do that. I said, look, you have to allow me to carry this with me. The reason, I have no time to go to the baggage claim and pick up the bag and still take a shuttle from Terminal 1 into Terminal 2 and still catch my flight, but they don't listen. So I said, okay, that's fine. Then I said, Lord, it's on you. Okay, when I arrived in Manila, you know what? Normally, Emirates flights are on time, but I was 30 minutes late. Even without being late, you know, you hardly make it, but you're already 30 minutes late. So I have only 1 hour to clear the immigration, pick up my bag, go to the, pick up a shuttle, and go to the Terminal 2, still meet with my group, and fly with them to Davao. And so God's grace, the immigration was cleared in no time, and it was my bag came on the belt, the first bag was mine. So I was so excited. And when I came out and I got into a shuttle, airport shuttle, and I'm sitting, it's not moving. So I asked the driver, what's the matter? Why you are not moving? He said, we'll go only after 20 minutes. Then the devil really haunted me and said, boy, you're not going to make it. Because the flight was 30 minutes late, the shuttle not going to leave for another 20 minutes. So I said, in the name of Jesus, I bind you in this shuttle. You sit in that shuttle, you come by shuttle, I'll take a taxi. So I got out. I left the devil in the shuttle. I picked up a taxi, and I gave 100 pesos or more to the taxi driver, you know, take me the shortest way you can possibly take me. And I made it to terminal number 2, and right in time, I mean, I would say some 10 minutes short of the flight taking off, you know, I made it. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Isn't God great? One more thing. God, don't think God don't know the desire of your heart. You're murmuring, you're complaining, your prayer, everything. Even from a far away, he can discern everything. You know what happened? As I was going to the Philippines, and I had this carry-on, two pieces of small luggages. I'm struggling to, you know, the aisles in the flight is so narrow, only 18 inch wide. And I was going, you had to go through the business class, is that right? To go into the economy. Then I said in my mind, you know, Lord, look, I'm a missionary, not funded by anybody, going by with my own money. And look at this worldly people, you know, they're in the business class, so comfortable, and, you know, their seats are this apart, you know, and, you know, they have a good 4x8 size room for each seat, you know. That's all I said. I didn't say I want a seat or nothing, and I said, it don't sound good, you know, but that's all I did. You know, on my way back, my friend was taking me to the airport from Dubai to catch my flight to Dallas. And as we were driving through a construction site, a pebble hit his windshield and broke the windshield. And in Dubai, unless there's a police report of the incident, the insurance won't cover it. So he stopped there. He called the police. 45 minutes, the police didn't show up. And I'm getting late to go to the airport again. So finally, I got a taxi, and I came to the airport. When I came to the airport, I am the last one. Everybody already boarded, checked in. Then I was told the flight is full, no seat. It's overbooked. So I said, lady, look, we have a contract. I paid for the ticket 2 months ago, and you should reserve a seat for me. That is an agreement, you know, even though it is not in writing, but that's agreement. You are breaching my agreement, you know, so I have to go on this flight. And she said, there's no way. Then I said, go get your supervisor. Let me talk to the supervisor. Then she said, okay, why don't you take a seat? Give me a few minutes. And after 15 minutes, then there's only 15 or 20 minutes for the flight to take off, you know. He called me and said, okay, this is your boarding pass. When I looked, the seat number 10, you know, in a jumbo jet, seat number 10 is way in the front, you know. So as I walked in, I could not believe it's in the first class, in the business class. Without any additional fare, you know, I was treated very royal, slept really good, you know. It's all because I want to tell you, when you are in the field, when you are in the mission field, when you are in the field spreading the gospel, God will give you unusual favors. It's very true. I experienced that in many of my trips. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So in the Philippines, we ministered in many, many schools, colleges, and universities, and jails, and medical missions, and feeding the poor. To make it short, there's 108 people added to the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I had the opportunity to preach a pastor's conference of 50 pastors, dedicating a house and a child. You know, when you are in the mission field, you know, and without any prior notice, you will be wearing too many hats, you know. You are a bishop, you are a preacher, you are all kind of thing, you know. I was put to preach to a business group, dedicating a house, dedicating a child, preaching in a pastor's conference, all this without any prior notice. But I want to tell you this. Every preaching without notice is better than you are giving 30 days notice, you know, you're going to preach after 30 days, you know. That momentary preparation is far better than, more anointing than your pre-planned preachings. Praise the Lord. Well, this morning, I would like you to turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 6 and verse 16. Yeah. Okay. Make a correction one more time. It's a 6:16. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, it says, "Thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient path where the good way is and walk in it." Praise the Lord. Today we are living in a world where there is no peace. You don't want to hear that from me. You turn the TV. You look what happened in Libya. What happened in Egypt is still happening. And what is happening in Syria for 2+ years? There is no peace. In any international city, always some kind of bombings going on or some kind of large anarchy gathering, people rising against the leaders, killings. It's all because of their feet is not in the right path. Because unless they receive and know the Prince of Peace, they have no peace. There is no peace in this world, or there is no peace in any heart, unless you receive that Prince of Peace who gives his peace. Before the ascension of Jesus, Jesus said, "I give my peace unto you." That's not like the worldly peace. This peace, nobody can give to you. Nobody can take it away from you. It's yours. Praise the Lord. And that peace passeth all human understandings and comprehensions. Because there is their feet is in the wrong path. They believe in violence and terrorism. I'm not picking any group. I'm people in general. And that's why we are seeing all these problems and commotions going on in this world. Praise the Lord. Now, the Bible says, if you do walk in that ancient path, what you will have? You will have rest for your soul. Souls are restless today. Even in our own community, people are restless. People has no sleep in the night. They are on pills. They are on all kinds of things. When they are in trouble, problems, difficulties, they go to their master, the alcohol, or the drug, or something else to make them calm down. But that's only a temporary it's a temporary fix. Then it comes haunt back and haunt them again. All they need to do is they acknowledge the Prince of Peace. They find out the ancient path and walk in that path. Then you will have peace. Your soul will be at rest. Praise the Lord. Now, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And that's exactly what everybody is after. For the worldly thing, the temporary thing, the quick fix. So what happens is, because they are following that path, not following the right path, not following the ancient path. Now, by the way, who is this ancient path? It's Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Who can give you peace even in the middle of the turmoil, in the middle of your problems, the middle of your agony, the middle of your heartache. You call unto the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The peace of God will come upon you. You will calm down. You will sleep right. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, in order to our dreams to come true, we have to sleep. And because people don't sleep in the night, that's why their dreams don't come true. We need good night's sleep. The Bible clearly says he gives sleep or rest to his anointed ones. And it's God's grace that we sleep good tonight, I mean every night. Praise the Lord. When a lady came to the preacher for, she needed some prayer for something. And also she said, "I'm addicted on drugs." And, you know, volume, Yeah, Valium. Valium. She was hooked on Valium. You know how all this started? She worked in the third shift, the midnight sleep shift, and come to home to sleep. The neighbor's dog kept on barking. She could not sleep. She started taking Valium, 1, 2, 3, and got addicted to it. But you know, if I was in her shoes, I would give that Valium to the dog. Let it. Let the dog go and sleep, you know. So I can peacefully sleep. That's the wisdom of God. That's the wisdom, worldly wisdom versus godly wisdom. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So Jesus said, I am, in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to me, unto the Father, but by me. So who is this ancient path? It is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is not a new God. Jesus Christ is not a God among other gods or among many gods. Jesus Christ is the God. He is the Son of God. And the Bible says he was here even before the foundation of this world. Even before the mountains were born and the earth was. And before that, he was and he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is not a foreign God. He is not a new God. He is the God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. He said, I am the way. The way is not something. The way is a person. That's Jesus Christ. And he said, I am the truth. The truth is not something. The truth is a person. That is Jesus Christ. When Christ was standing by Pilate, he said, I come to bear witness for the truth. Then what Pilate said, what is truth? He is saying, asking, what is truth? The man, the ruler of the nation, sitting on the judgment seat, judging the people without knowing what is truth. So what kind of judgment you can expect from him? And that's the same in this world. That's the same in this world. People really do not know. What does the truth means? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So truth is not something. Truth is somebody. That is none other than Jesus Christ. And he is the life. Praise the Lord. Amen. He is the life. We are dead. We are in him. And where we are right now? We are actually at the right hand of the Father. But if you are in Christ, where is Christ? Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father. And you are in him. That's why our prayers are answered in that quick, because you are sitting next to the Father. Have you ever realized that? You know, oftentimes we get so panicked when something go wrong in our way. All you need to do is, you know, say, Father, you know, he is sitting next to you. Just say, Father, help me. And instead, we go to all world leaders and politicians and the wrong people. And they cannot help. They need help. But we are approaching these wrong people for help. That's why we are still in our problems. We are still in our diseases. Still in our agony we are walking. All you need to do is recognize who is the Prince of Peace and walk in that ancient path. You will have rest for your soul. The book of Acts chapter 4 verse 12 reads like this. There is salvation in no one else. There is no name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Only salvation through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is an equal opportunity savior. He did not come and die for Christians alone. He came and died for the whole mankind. Amen. The seed of Adam. We all are in it. Praise the Lord. You know, Muhammad is only for the Islam. Buddha is only for Buddhist. Krishna is only for the Hindus. But Jesus Christ, amen, he died for the whole mankind. Everybody, those who are under the sun, under the heaven, amen, he died and shed his blood for all. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. So there is no salvation in any other. The salvation is only through Christ Jesus. You know, today people are trying to satisfy their soul with worldly possessions. You know, Jesus had a parable in the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 16. Let's go there. Chapter 12, verse 16 to 20. Okay. And he told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man was very productive. He began reasoning to himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops? Then he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Verse 20. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now who will own what you have prepared? Praise the Lord. Amen. Is this very familiar to everybody? Now, these days, people wanted to comfort their soul with worldly possessions. I mean, this man's problem was bounty. His crops was so bountiful, but his barn or storehouse was so small. So this guy, there was no peace. His soul was so disturbed. He cannot sleep in the night. He went to sleep and he got up. And he went to the kitchen. He made a sandwich and made a coffee. And he was thinking, what can I do? What will I do? Because the crops, is time for harvest. It has to be harvested. But the storehouse is so small. What am I going to do? Then he went back to sleep, but he got up again. He couldn't sleep. He couldn't find sleep. He was so disturbed. Then he's going upstairs, downstairs to the basement, walking around. He's still disturbed. Then you know what happened? He started speaking to himself. He said, you know, okay, this is what I'm going to do. He took a legal pad and a pen, and he started drawing the blueprint of a new barn. Okay? Going to be 40 feet wide, 60 feet long, and maybe 16 feet high, and by volume, so much crops I can contain in it. So he was making that plan. And, you know, most of us do the same thing. And this is what the world is doing. You know, that without realizing, before your plan can be accomplished, God can just take you like that. Right? When this fool was so restless, going back and forth and making all these blueprints, immediately the Lord said, you fool, if I require your soul tonight, what are you going to do? So, and this is what happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. You know what happened to him? In a fine evening, instead of going for an evening walk, he went on the second floor of his palace. He was back in, looking, I mean, riding back and forth, riding back and forth, and looking around, and said, man, isn't this the magnificent the palace, the kingdom, and this and that I built for my own glory? And immediately he heard, amen, what? You are stripped. Your kingship is gone. You're going to be eating grass like a beast. And right away he was running towards the forest for eating grass. And he ate grass for 7 years. Look, you are not the captain of your own ship. You are not. You are not the driver of your car. You are not the boss. Let us recognize there is some higher authority there who owns us. Our breath is in his hand. You exile, but if you want to inhale, he has to allow you to do that. How fragile our life is. Like a shadow, we are here today, and we are not there tomorrow. And I don't know, maybe Pastor Herman knows it. In India, when I was growing up long ago, those times we didn't have much wristwatches or timepieces or clocks. We were depending our time on the shadow of our house. When the shadow of the house is in certain area, we know it's 10 o'clock. It's very true. When the shadow in the evening has a certain, you know, the sun turn around, you know, so it's the shadows on the other side then, you know. Then it's, you know, we know it's 4 o'clock, you know. And that's how we used to go to school those days. Because I was living in a village. There was not too many people on their watch. And sometimes when you see somebody has a watch, you know, we stop and say, what time is it? That's how we go to school. But what I meant to say is, the shadow was there in the morning. When I went to school, when I came back, that shadow was not there. And that's us. Our life is just like that, a shadow. It's there today, it's not there tomorrow. So when we plan things, let's plan things with the help of God. Let's acknowledge that He owns you, your life, not us. Praise the Lord. Amen. So then He said, I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Do you think the soul will eat grain? That's what He's saying. Soul, I have laid up so much goods for you, so take it easy. It's good for so many years to come. And I want to tell you this. Soul don't eat grass. I mean, food. And people, that's exactly what people do in these days. They want to entertain their outer man. They want to make their outer man looking good. But their inner man is wasting away. Day by day, it's wasting away instead of the other way around. Now, he says to, oh, my soul, I have stored maybe 50 tons of grain, so you be happy. But God said, fool, you're not going to work. You quit your plan. You recognize me. Otherwise, you're not going to make any blueprint. You're not going to get the harvest. You are done with. What your soul is need is a godly peace, not a worldly possession. Amen? You cannot satisfy your soul with large bank deposits or the key of a new car or not a 500,000 deposit slip. You cannot satisfy your soul. The soul is searching for something eternal. The soul of a man is an integral part of God Himself. The soul belongs to God. Soul is a part of God, not part of the world. And with worldly goods, you cannot satisfy your soul. You may be able to satisfy your outer man with this kind of entertainments and deposits and real estates or whatever. But the soul is searching something different. The book of Psalms 42, verse 1 and 2 says, as the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Praise the Lord. Now, let me tell you something I observed at the airport. As I was waiting for my next flight, across me there was sitting a mother and a little daughter, probably a year and a half old daughter, and the mother wanted to go to use the washroom, and she handed this baby to the elder sister. And the baby started crying so loud, nobody can even hear the announcements, that loud, screaming. And as I was observing this older sister showing her necklace, hey, look this, the baby not paying no attention. And she is showing her earrings, the baby paying no attention. Then took some coin and made some noise. The baby looked and smiled like a nanosecond and still crying. Crying big, I mean really crying big. Then she pulled her wallet and showed currencies, you know. The $1, she's still crying. Showed a $20 bill, still crying. Then I saw she picked up a $100 and said, look, baby, it's a $100 bill, you know. The baby's still crying. Then, for my surprise, As soon as the mother came in, picked up the baby quit crying. What was the baby crying for? The mother, not for money. She didn't care. Is that $1 bill or $100 bill? She didn't care. You have a $500 deposit, a receipt, or a key of a new car. The baby was crying for the mother. What the soul is searching for is God, not for worldly possessions. You cannot satisfy your soul with all of your accomplishments and all of your deposits and the worldly possessions. Soul won't be satisfied with that. Soul is really looking for God himself because it belongs to God. What is man? Man is the dust of the earth plus the breath of heaven. When the breath of heaven came in the nostril of the dust of man, man became a living soul. The soul is part of God. Praise the Lord. And that's why the soul is crying. I need to reach that God, the real God. And that's what we read here. My soul, as deer pants for the water brook, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. For the living God. That is the important thing. There are so many man-made gods in this world, but there is only one living God. His name is Jesus. When I was for a mission trip, where's Annie? With Annie in 2003 in England. Again, I think it was at the airport, there came an Englishman in the costume of an Eastern man from India. He had a dot here, and he introduced himself. He said, I am from the Hare Krishna movement. He said, don't eat the cow. He said, that's God. I said, it tastes good, I eat cow. He said, no. He said, that's God. I said, we eat God. He said, how? The Bible says, unless you don't eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life. So I said, we eat God every day. We can eat our God, but not your God. So he was so concerned about a cow. You know, you heard about a holy cow. In India, cow is really holy. See, people making gods every day. The cow is a god today. When you go to India, the snake is a god. The sun is a god. The moon is a god. The stars are gods. And you go in the jungles, you know, they worship all kinds of creations, you know, creatures. They are gods. But the Bible says, my soul is thirsting for what? For the living God. That's the only God who can give you peace. That's the By following that God, you will have your soul be at rest. When shall I come and appear before God? Even the primitive man lives away from the civilization, in the caves and in the dense forests, seek God in their own way. They do believe in a supernatural or a super being somewhere out in somewhere. The only difference is that they don't know if that God is a person or an object. That's the only difference. But they do know there is a God. Praise the Lord. And that's why we are here, to go and tell them that there is only one Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. Unless you receive him, you will be lost. Praise the Lord. The awareness of God differentiates man from beast. See, the difference between man and beast is the awareness of God. I know most of you have pets at home, right? Cats? Dogs? No horses? You have cats and dogs at home? Cow? Let me ask you this. Why your cat is here, not here? Why your dog is not in the sanctuary worshiping God? They don't come. Because only man can differentiate between God and beast. Only man has the ability to worship God. Only man has the power to choose who is the living God and follow him. In order to find rest for your soul, your feet must be in God's path. We can divide the path into two, the path of darkness, the path of righteousness. The path of darkness you can see, Proverbs chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. Those who leave the path of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who delight in doing evil and rejoice in the perversity of evil. And that's exactly happening in these latter days. People really love to walk in darkness. People really love to do shameful things. Things that was shameful 50 years ago are so acceptable these days, praise the Lord. That's true. The culture is changing. Things that was so ashamed to speak out is being broadcasted through the radio and TV these days. Shameful things, shameful things. That tells you we are living at the very, very last days before the returning of Christ. Church, we need to awaken ourselves. Praise the Lord. Now, it is not that they do not know the right path, but they willfully love to walk in the crooked ways. You know, you can counsel a snake for 2 hours. This is not right. You know, you have to walk straight. Don't go the crooked ways. Then when you say, after 2 hours of counseling, say bye-bye, you look, it's going still the crooked ways. So that's this generation. That's this generation. No matter what you say, they make you to think you are wrong. That's very true. That's very true. They make you guilty. You are doing something wrong, not us. We are doing everything right. And, you know, Jeremiah chapter 21, verse 8. Behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. See, the way of life and the way of death is right in front of you. It's you to choose. God has given you the freedom to choose. You can, you know, whatever first, our mother in a Garden of Eden did, there was the tree of knowledge and the tree of life. She chose the wrong one, and that is continuing. Even after 6,000 years, that selection is still wrong. Behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. And people are love to walk in the way of death for temporary pleasure than walking the way of life. Jesus said, there's a narrow way, there's a highway. And people, everybody love to go on the modern ways, taking bridges, toll roads. I mean, in lives, you know, everything's so big, they can go fast. But nobody want to go into the narrow ways in the old path. Praise the Lord. There are two kinds of people in this world. Those who walk in the ways of death and those who walk in the ways of life. In God's creation, only man, the crown of the creation, has the privilege to choose to walk in the path of God and be saved or rejected the God's plan of salvation. Now, Proverbs chapter 8, verse 22 to 30, I'm not reading it. It tells you who is the ancient path. When you read that path, it says, I was there even before the foundation of the world. I was there before the mountains. I was there before God created the angels. I was there, I was there, I was there. And who is that? That is nobody other than Jesus Christ. When you look in the book of John, the Gospel, chapter 1, he says, in the beginning there was God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He dwelt among us. We didn't even recognize him. He was with us. And in Psalm 90, at the funeral service of his own brother, Aaron, Moses is saying, Psalm 90, verse 2, before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Jesus is the old path. You know who is the new path? Muhammad is the new path. But the Bible says, you walk in the old path. Buddha is the new path. But the Bible says, you walk in the old path. Immersion water baptism is the old path. The new path is sprinkling the babies even before they can confess their sin. You know, there's old and new. People always wanted to pursue something new. Nobody wanted to bother about old. But the old is gold. Old is the way. Jesus said, when you are at the crossroad, look your left and the right and the back and the front. But pick the old path, the ancient path. The ancient path, it will take you to your destination. People who walk with Jesus always reach their destination. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. Now, Isaiah chapter 59, verse 8. They do not know the way of peace, and there is no justice in their path. They have made their paths crooked. Whoever treads on them does not know peace. Now you see what the Bible says? Because they are treading on the wrong path, that is why there is no peace in this world. You know, most bombings take place on what day in the Middle East? Somebody say, yeah? Huh? Could be, but it's on Friday. You know, Fridays. Fridays is their day of worship, like our Sunday. Some of them go to worship, some of them go with the bomb to kill them. You turn your TV on. Am I making it up? Majority of bombings are done on Fridays, the day of their worship. It's true. Amen? So where is the peace? You know why all this happening? Because they are walking on the wrong way. They are walking in the wrong way. I'm not picking any religion, but I am burning within me. I am saying, you believe in Muhammad or Krishna or Buddha or any man-made gods, you are lost. You have no peace. Your soul is restless unless you acknowledge the one who died for you, the ancient path. His name is Jesus. I don't give any confession for that, you know. Jesus is the ancient path. Jesus is the way. He is the Prince of Peace. Those who know him, they have peace. Praise the Lord. And if everybody could know him, there will be no more killings in this world. Praise the Lord. I'd like to conclude my words here. We'll say last Proverbs chapter 15, verse 24. The path of life leads upward for the wise, that he may keep away from Sheol below. The path of the wise is always upward. He will skip going to hell. Praise the Lord. Thank God, a handful of people in this sanctuary, those who are wise, listened to the compelling of the Holy Spirit, received Jesus, and set in their course, waiting for the coming of the Lord. Yes, the path of the wise are upward, that he may keep away from the hell below. There's only two places to go. You know, I'm an evangelist, you know, I'm a missionary. This is all I keep on stressing when I go into the Philippines, you know. There's only two places to go after death. I always tell them, hey, if your family is rich, you know, you have a lot of money, you can choose, when you want to go for a vacation, you can choose to come to America or go to Paris or London or any other places you want to go. But the minute you close your eyes, the minute you are dead, there are no multiple choices. Only two places you will go. Either you go to hell or you go to heaven. But I tell them, to go to hell, you have nothing more to do. You are destined to go there. But if you want to go to heaven, you have to do something. And that is receive Jesus. Praise the Lord. Then when I give altar call, I ask, anybody want to receive Jesus? Not very many hands up. Then I say, those who wanted to go to hell, please remain seated. And those who want to go to heaven, let me see your hand. Everybody get up. I said, what's wrong? Why don't you want to go to hell? Oh, it's too hot there. Then I asked in a high school, where do you want to go, heaven or hell? They said, oh, we want to go to heaven. Then I asked, then who will go to hell? Only bad people. I said, we are that bad people. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. You need Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Divine, there are two kinds of wisdom. There's a divine wisdom, there's a worldly wisdom. The divine wisdom, the worldly wisdom may take you up to the outer space. But the divine wisdom will take you all the way to the dwelling place of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's have that divine wisdom. Praise the Lord. God is so merciful. In his mercy, he saved us. Praise the Lord. He thought of us. He is coming back quick. It is his grace that we come to know the ancient path. We didn't look for him. He looked for us. He saved us. And let's walk in that ancient path. Jesus is coming very, very soon. The Bible very clearly says, when this gospel shall be preached as a witness to all over the world, then comes the end. So if you are so eager to see the Lord or go to heaven, you prepare, go and preach the word of God. Praise the Lord. Go and preach the word of God. Our citizenship is in heaven, not here. You know, in heaven there's no dual citizenship. In some countries there are dual citizenship. You can be citizen of America, maybe citizen of the Philippines at the same time. But in heaven, either you are a citizen here or you are there. Praise the Lord. Thank God that we are citizens of heaven and we are heaven bound. We are waiting for the Lord to come. And yes, Lord, come quickly. He is coming. And thank you, Pastor George, for allowing this time. May God richly bless every one of you. If we don't see again in this world, we'll meet everybody together in heaven. Thank you.